I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Trump is going to speak in Delco soon, and we'll bring it to you live since he's right in our backyard. And I know there's a bunch of Scioli Army who are there in Delco to hear him and be part of the event. So that's very, very cool. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Scioli. A lot to get to this hour. And your thoughts, your calls. We are 1 week away from this being over. Hope it's over. Don't know if it will be. I hope so. But my spidey sense is telling me I don't think this election is going to be as close as we think it is. I just don't think so. I don't know. I don't think so. I think Trump is doing very, very well here. But of course, what we don't know is just the abortion issue factor that. Like in Nevada, for example, there's a referendum on this. So there's certain things that make me a little bit nervous going into this election. And then, of course, the usual shenanigans. But I'll talk more about that. Let me grab some of your calls first. Kevin is in Wilmington. Kevin, how are you?
How you doing? Thank you for taking my phone call.
Sure.
Thank you. I just wanted to say, as far as your comments about the media, I don't think the media actually over the hype with that comedian said. Again, I don't know him. I never heard his jokes before. And I understand people have roasts that can, you know, kind of go pretty far as a roast and joke and things of that nature. But I believe, isn't the Trump campaign, first of all, ultimately responsible for what anybody says at his rallies? You know, I mean, he made the joke about Puerto Rico, the dollar, stuff like that. I get it. But then he also made racist jokes about black people as far as watermelon. You know what I mean? So I believe Trump is ultimately responsible for what happens at his rallies.
Like I said, if I were the campaign manager, I would not have had a roast comic at a political event because, you know, people are touchy. I don't know what to say. But I mean, if you're asking me, is Trump himself responsible? Not necessarily. They may not vet who everybody's going to speak before. You know what I mean? That's why you have people work for you.
Well, from what I heard, I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard he was reading from a teleprompter.
Well, you might have been reading from a teleprompter, but that doesn't mean that Trump approved all of his jokes in advance. You're asking me if Trump approved it directly. I'm telling you, from my experience working on campaigns, I doubt it. There are people, that's their job. Their job is to plan these events, and then, you know, you give them the material, they load it up in the teleprompter or whatever. I mean, did Trump himself know that Kiltony was going to make a joke about it? I doubt it. He's got a lot on his plate. I doubt that he knew he was going to make those jokes. That he personally knew that. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm guessing he probably didn't know that.
Okay, it makes sense. But at the very least, Trump should have fired his campaign manager for letting him make that slide pass.
Look, and I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Who knows, right? I mean, that could have been, I don't know who exactly signed off on that or made that decision. I imagine probably there were some angry people on the campaign plane later that night. You know what I mean? Because it's a headache you don't want. But I don't know if anybody's going to get fired over it. I guess it'd be one of those stories that we'll probably find out more about as time goes on. But I don't think it's the end of the world either. You know what I mean?
All right.
Because the guy's a comedian. Like, it'd be one thing if you had, like, here's what I would say. If it was a senator up there who was making racist comments, right? That's one thing. If the guy's a comedian. Do you bring up a roast comic? Did you see the Tom Brady roast, by the way? It was hysterical. Did you watch it?
I often watch some of it on Netflix. It was funny.
Yeah,
it was
funny because I hate Tom Brady, and when he just roasted him, particularly about being like Giselle's, you know, sloppy seconds, which I thought was hysterical. But again, you know, I think people do give comedians a pass. Do you bring a roast comic out of a political rally? Probably not in the future. Maybe a good lesson learned, I guess.
Yeah, I kind of see it as like a time and a place.
Right.
You know what I mean? Everything has a time and a place for stuff.
You
know what I mean? It's appropriate or not appropriate or kind of crossing the line or like, I don't know about that joke. Maybe I'm going to hold off on that one.
Yeah. Do you remember when Hillary Clinton and Bill de Blasio made the CP time joke? The cautious politician joke, which was a joke about,
yeah,
you remember that joke, and they got they got killed for it. And I said the same thing at the time. I'm like, yeah, come on, it's a stupid joke. You know what I mean? Like, lighten up. You know, I think sometimes we make a little too much of this stuff. But again, I think it's one thing for a politician to say it, and another thing for a comedian to say it. That I think that's the difference. Not justifying it, I'm just saying that's the difference, in my opinion. So.
If a
United States senator speaking in that rally had called Puerto Rico, had said that it was, you know, the floating, that would have been a way different story, in my opinion.
I understand.
So, yeah. Anyway. All right, Kevin. Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
You have a good day. 855-839-1210. But I mean, when you read the stories, it's like if you believe the media narrative, literally 100% of anyone who's Puerto Rican has no sense of humor. I just don't believe that as a guy who loves comedy that sometimes hits various ethnic groups, particularly my own. I mean, yeah, they make a lot of Italian jokes. I don't know if you know this or not, but there's really two groups you can really make jokes about and not get canceled in this day and age: Italians and Irish. But I'm also very good friends with Jimmy Fallon, and I go on his show a lot, as you know. I'll be back on November 9th. And he had our friend Jocelyn Shee on. Now, remember, it's Fox News. It's Saturday night. It's 10 o'clock. But Jimmy's a comedian. Jocelyn's a comedian. She almost got canceled because she made a joke about the Malaysian Airlines. They tried to cancel her over that. And we were making a joke about driving. And, you know, Jimmy made a joke about Jocelyn's joke about Asians and how they drive. And it was a funny moment. But the whole point of the joke was this would get Jimmy canceled if he said it. So we found a way to get Jocelyn to make the joke. And it was funny. You know what I mean? But there's really like you can make all the Irish drunk fight Irish jokes you want. You can make all the Italian mob jokes you want. You can make all the jokes. Nobody cares. Nobody. You don't get canceled for that. There's certain groups. And it's just I get it. And I'm OK with it. I really am. I can deal with it. I can handle it. But I also think that if it were like if the Kill Tony guy had gone up and made a joke about Italians and there was an article that said like every Italian in Pennsylvania was ticked off and not voting for Trump, I'd be like, you know, like stop. Were there some? Yes. Five, like five people. You probably have bigger issues, I would think. I don't know. I just, maybe that's me and like I said, if it were me, I wouldn't have had a roast comic at a political rally for this reason, because you don't want to give the media stories and headlines. You don't need it. But as I read the media's, as usual, overreaction, hyperreaction, as they go all in with the craziness of this, I keep thinking you're kind of stereotyping that all Puerto Ricans now have no sense of humor. I think a lot of them thought the Seinfeld episode was pretty funny. Just saying. Let me go to Brant in Huntington Valley. Wanted to talk about Democrats calling Trump Hitler. Hello, Brant. How are you?
Yeah, and also Don Rickles wouldn't have a career these days.
No, God,
if he
no.
Was there.
No, Don Rickles, God rest his soul, was a freaking genius. He would not have a career. Yeah. He'd be in prison.
He used to say stuff about Nipsey Russell and Jimmy Walker and. Yeah. But
he went after everybody, Don Rickles. He went after everybody. I actually love those Comedy Central roasts. And one of the funniest ones is the one they did of who's the guy from Full House? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
That roast of him, Bob Saget, was freaking amazing. If you want. But again, you know, would I do that at a political rally myself? Probably not. But anyway, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, you know, when they call Trump, you know, a Nazi, you know, it's pretty, you know, in line with people being anti-Semitic. And I don't know, didn't they rename the Golan Heights in the state of Israel, Trump Heights?
They're
naming plazas after him, and they're naming streets after him. If he was such an anti-Semite, I don't think the Jewish state would be picking a Nazi to name streets after.
If he was such a Nazi, do you think his daughter would convert to Judaism?
No, not at all.
No?
Not at all.
I, I'll ask you another question. If he was such a Nazi, do you think he would still keep his daughter in the family if she converted to Judaism?
Absolutely.
Probably not, right?
Well, yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah, no, I know. It's so stupid.
He's the furthest thing from an anti-Semite.
But you remember, what the real attack is, that they're trying to say he's this dictator, this evil dictator is going to take over the world. And to that point, I always come back, Grant, and I say this question. If he was going to be a dictator, why wouldn't he be in a dictator when he was already in the White House and had the power? That's when you be a dictator, right?
I know. He could have arrested everybody.
Sure. You had the chance to be a dictator. What kind of a low-energy dictator are you? You're in power, you give up power, and then go, oh, damn it. Now I want to try to get the power back. Who does that? What kind of a dictator does that?
Hitler had that night of the long knives and took out everybody, even people in his own party.
It's true. Yes. There's a great book to read called In the Garden of Beasts about Hitler's rise to power in Berlin in late 1930s. It's an excellent book. But at no point did he ever leave office. At no point. Bran, thank you for the call, my friend. I appreciate it. Let me go to Polo in Philadelphia. Polo, what's up?
Hey, Rich, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. You know, I'm just talking about the same thing. Like, you know, I already voted for Trump, and so did most of my family. We would have never gave up our vote over that. We've heard some of our people call Trump worse names, but it wasn't Trump. It was the guy. You know, maybe he was an implant, maybe he was sabotaged, or he was just having fun. Some people got butt hurt, but you know what? The only people that are suffering are the ones that weren't going to vote for Trump anyway. Everybody else is like, you know what? You know, what can I tell you? You know, it shouldn't have happened, but it happened. Let's move on.
Yeah, are you Puerto Rican, Polo?
Yes, sir, 100%.
Yeah, and you didn't go and demand your ballot back and rip it up and burn it and protest or anything like that?
Not at all. Yeah. I actually was trying to get another one, but you told me that's illegal, so I said no. I had to smack myself in the head and say, no, bad boy.
Well, I can make a Puerto Rican joke about that, but I'm not going to.
Hey, it's okay. I mean, hey, listen, jokes is a joke, man.
I know.
My kids ask me, hey, up there, what are we thinking about that? I said, we ain't thinking nothing. It's a joke. Put it this way, they sabotaged Trump. They want to ruin it the last few couple seconds because they want to say, maybe he's an implant. Maybe he said, you know what? Somebody told him, I'm going to slip you a couple duckies in your hand. Just say something messed up to mess up Trump. But it ain't going to happen. It won't work. We got him.
Polo, thank you for the call. I appreciate it, buddy. It's a great point, though, about like, I've run these rallies. I've run these events. Like I told you, I spent my career in politics before I became a talk radio host. And me personally, if I had been in charge, I would have murdered whoever booked him to speak at the rally. I would have murdered the guy. I would have literally killed whatever campaign staffer thought that was a good idea. I would have personally killed him. And ultimately, it would have fallen on me because I'm supposed to be in charge. But I would have on the flight home literally stabbed that person to death for doing that. At the same time I'm saying that, I can also say that the media's overreaction to this is so hysterically stupid that I think everybody needs to just realize that there is, and this is what the left always does, they overreact constantly to everything, to the point now where you just kind of shrug and go, like, right, really? Like, this is the biggest issue at the moment in the country. All right. Got it. Okay. And you know, Larry David makes a lot of self-deprecating Jewish jokes about himself all the time. There's an episode on Curb Your Enthusiasm where he makes a joke about how the guy calls him a self-loathing Jew. He goes, I do hate myself, but it's not because I'm Jewish. It's not because I'm Jewish. My point is that it's when comedians make these jokes, it's one thing. Politicians make them, it's another. And it wasn't a politician who made the joke. It was a comedian. So when I see a story like the story that I have today, which I'm not even kidding you, is, and I think, Matt, do we have some sort of audio reaction of this, of the media going crazy on this? Did I see a story on that? I know there was an audio clip, I think, on Newsbusters about this to kind of prove my point. See if I can grab it for you, just to kind of prove my point on the media going just freaking nuts on this. Because this is, let me see here if I can find this. Yes, here we go. Let me share this with you. I'll send this to you, Matt. Oh, and we have Bobby Nataway. He's going to come on at 6 p.m. All right, great. We'll talk to him. I'll send you this clip, and I'm going to share with you this story. Just to prove my point about the media, this is more about the media's overreaction to things than I think anything else. Trump's Puerto Rico fallout is spreading like wildfire in Pennsylvania. Politico. MSG, Trump's Puerto Rico fallout is spreading like wildfire. Trump team fears damage from racist rally remarks, New York Times. I just don't believe any of that. I really don't. I don't believe any of those. I don't believe it. I don't believe that it's that damaging to the campaign. I really don't. I really don't. Like, two things can be true at the same time. If I had been in charge, I would have murdered whoever thought it was a good idea to put a roast comic at a political rally. At the same time, I really don't think this is the end of the campaign the way that Politico is writing this, and we're going to lose Pennsylvania now because of a joke made by a comedian. You know? But the media always does this stuff. They go so crazy with all this stuff. They go so nuts, over the top with this. You're like, Wynn is in Sicklerville. Wynn, how are you?
I'm doing great. I listened to the whole speech that the comedian made from when he started, and he asked, is anybody out in the crowd Hispanic? And a whole bunch of people responded they were Hispanic. And, you know, I don't think that, I think it's more media hype than anything.
I agree.
That's what I think.
I agree. I do. You know? I agree with you. I think it's the usual media hype, seize on something and run with it and go crazy with it because they want to add to the narrative that Trump's a racist and everything else. And that's what they do.
And then my wife is Puerto Rican, and I just didn't find it offensive at all. You know,
see, if my wife was Puerto Rican, I would have divorced her over it. Well, I never would have married her in the first place. I'm kidding. My God, relax. Too soon?
Sorry. Hey, go ahead.
I know. All that right, was it. I'm canceled. All right.
But no, let me tell you this, okay?
Yeah.
Hispanics, and especially Puerto Rico. First of all, Puerto Rico is a beautiful island.
It is.
For all U.S. citizens, okay, if anybody ever goes to Puerto Rico to visit, go to the southern side because that's on the Caribbean. Okay, the northern side's on the Atlantic, so that's like going to Atlantic City. The southern side, where Ponce is, it's quiet, great restaurants, not a lot of tourism, and that's a best-kept secret. So, you know, like, I just had to share that with you, okay?
No, I appreciate that. The insider info and stuff like that is so essential because whenever I go to a place like that, I want to know where the locals eat. It's like when I went to Italy, the same thing. And I learned this lesson from my buddy. You go to a place and you go, where do you go to dinner? And you find out from the locals. And I think that matters more than anything, you know?
Southern side of the island.
All right. Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate the tip.
Okay.
All right, Wynn. Thanks, pal. Wayne in Haddonfield. Wayne, how are you?
Hey, Rich.
Hey, Wayne.
I'm doing fabulous. So I appreciate all the remarks about what we think it will or won't do in terms of affecting things. But I would take this tack. I would say, first of all, if I was President Trump or a significant representative, I would say, listen, first of all, let's talk about the joke, okay? It's whether I like it or not isn't the issue. Number one, I don't want to censor humor. We have had enough of that. We've seen it with Saturday Night Live. Number two, here's the good news. The problem exists, and Puerto Ricans know that. Now that President Trump or his people, this comedian, has done us a favor and called attention to it, what President Trump will do is guarantee that when he's president, I'm going to fix that problem.
Yeah, because it has a major garbage problem. And
that has a major garbage problem.
It does.
So let's not run away from it.
Are you saying embrace it?
Take it on.
Own it. Hang a lantern on your problem, as they say.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then that way he's viewed by the Puerto Ricans that, you know, Carville is alleging so much are going to be up in flames. He's alleging he's now going to say, hey, you know what? You know it exists. I know it exists. Now that we all agree, when I'm president, I'm fixing that.
There
okay?
you go.
Just
like
you know, we send money to the Ukraine and we don't even know who they are. I'm fixing it because you guys are part of us. There you go. Done.
I love it. Wayne, the campaign should hire you for your crisis communications ability. That's an excellent point.
All right, my friend. Have a good evening. I love what you do, Rich. Keep it up.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Now, as you know, Chris Matthews' book, Hardball, which is a must-read political book. It's one of my favorite political books. Hardball, he has a whole chapter on that. Hang a lantern on your problems. Like, whatever problems you have, bring them front and center. So that's where that phrase comes from. Also, dance with the one who brung you to the dance. It's very important to me. It's very important to me for a couple reasons. Number one, I'm a very loyal person in life. Very loyal. Loyalty to me, maybe it's because I'm Italian. Loyalty to me matters. It's everything. So I have no use for these people that worked for Trump and then go out there and write books and trash him and everything else. I come from the old school of, okay, you were on my team. Now you're not on my team anymore. You zip it, you shut your mouth, and you go and fade off into the distance because that's the right thing to do. You don't turn and flip. You know what I mean? The other reason why that dance with the one who brung you to the dance from a political perspective means that you stick with the people who got you where you are. It's very important in life. So think of the people that haven't. Howard Stern, right? Abandons the people, this blue-collar base that made him a multi-gazillionaire. Bruce Springsteen, who played at Temple last night. Another one, right? Abandons the working-class people. How many Democrat politicians have done that, got elected, and then embraced the Green New Deal as a big, giant FU to all the working class guys and gals out there who elected them, all the union people? Why do you think all the union people turn around and they're like, screw you, we're not backing you? You know what I mean? Why do you think all the unions are not backing the Democrats anymore? Because for years, the Democrats backed them and then they turned around and they stabbed them in the back with the Green New Deal. Why do you think Latino voters, despite the joke, are going with Donald Trump in record numbers? Well, for a lot of Latino voters, because they're tired of the fact that the Democrat Party took them for granted year after year. One of the biggest issues with them is the fact that they tend to be a lot more socially conservative, and they see what's happening in schools. And the Democrats are like, screw you. We're going to let your kids read basically pornography in kindergarten. You know, we're going to let the border be wide open. So dance with the one who brought you to the dance. Black voters. Black voters. Trump's going to do better with black voters than any candidate since Richard Nixon. And there's another reason for that, too, because a lot of black voters taken for granted by the Democrat Party. Just a fait accompli. You're going to vote for us, and that's just the way it is, right? That's the way it is. And here's something else. The reason why that matters to me, Matt DeSantis, dance with the one who brung you to the dance, is because I'm going to tell you a true story. Freshman year of high school, I got asked to go to the junior prom with a woman named Allie. I'm not going to say her last name on the air. And at the junior prom, I bought her a dozen roses. And she ditched me at the, I was a freshman, and she took me to her junior prom, and she ditched me for my friend Joe, and I got ditched at the junior prom. So that phrase, dance with the one who brung you to the dance, has significant meaning for me. Do you understand my point? Is DeSantis even there, or what? Did he take the show off again?
I'm listening. I'm laughing. I thought that was an enjoyable story. I enjoyed your misery. That was funny.
That's literally what happened to me. I got ditched at the junior prom.
Did you go to another dance after that? Because I feel like that would be enough for me to swear off all dances.
Of course I did. I redeemed myself and became an alpha male after that. It was a defining moment for me. But you danced with the one who brung you to the dance.
I bet she's kicking herself now, though, because you're a big TV star and a radio star.
Damn right. I'm sure every time she turns on Fox News and she sees that, she's like, that could have been me. You know, just saying. You know, I'm just saying. Yeah, you keep your mouth shut, you don't flip. That's how it works, right? That's how it works. It's just like, it's a very loyal for me. Loyalty is everything in this world. It's all we got in life is loyalty. And it's, I hate when people like Chris Christie, this whole flipping on Trump thing, Scaramucci, the Mooch, Cohen, all these scumbags. I have no use for these people. None whatsoever. None. All right. Let me see. Should I take a break? Should I take a break? What should I do?
Yeah.
I mean, you could take one more caller, and then we can go to break.
All right. You want me to take John in Quakertown?
Yeah, let's go John, and then we'll go break.
John in Quakertown. John, what's up?
Hey, bud. How you doing? I love your show.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, just reporting on a story I heard earlier today that they're turning people away from the Quakertown off of California Road where you could do your early mail-in ballots. They're giving you a piece of paper and telling you you can fill out your ballot, but they're not going to let you in and do all this. And it's just voter fraud up the yin-yang right here.
Where? And what do you, when you say voter fraud up the yin yang?
Yeah.
So they're not letting
they're turning people away.
They're just turning people away.
They're taking your application and telling you to come back later and pick it up. Pick up your mail-in ballot.
Okay. John, why don't you reach out to protectthevote.com and report that for me? Would you do that?
I sure will. I also got video of the police officer standing out front handing out the paperwork that has this. I got a copy of the paperwork, too, that I'm going to be also taking a picture of and sending it to voter.com. I heard Linda Kern saying earlier today, if you're in line, you have to be served because this is the last day. And they're turning people away. They're saying by end of business day. You know, they're just turning people away. And I guess they want to go home and take care of dinner instead of worrying about the vote.
There you go. John, yeah, thank you for bringing it to our attention, okay? We got to make sure we bring all this stuff to our attention.
Yes, sir. But protectthevote.com, they're getting all this.
Thank you, John. Mama Zioli just weighed in. I'm going to read you what Mama Zioli just texted me. She said, I think she was an idiot, honey, and it was her loss about the girl who ditched me at the junior prom. That's what Mama Zioli just texted me right now. I think she was an idiot, honey, and it was her loss. She wasn't good enough for my baby. That's what she said. I was just reading the text. It's great. Mama Zioli to the rescue. I never know when she's listening. She's listening now. She wasn't good enough for my baby, and I never would have given you away to her anyway. So great. Mama Zioli is the best. Oh, man. I wound up becoming good friends with a woman. And that was just, I mean, look, I was a freshman in high school. She had no business bringing me to the junior prom anyway. It was all pimply, wearing Husky jeans, got greaseball. You know what I mean? I was a greaseball. Not because I'm Italian greaseball. I'm just saying I was all greasy. I had to go on Accutane. My skin was a freaking mess. Looked like a pepperoni pizza. I don't know what she was thinking in the first place, you know? I transformed, obviously. But back then, oof-ah, you know what I mean? And plus, Grandmama Zioli let me eat things like Jell-O pudding. Not pudding pops. They had Jell-O pudding pies back then, where it was literally like a hostess pie with pudding in it. And she would let me eat that stuff. And you wonder why I needed Husky jeans in high... You know what I'm saying?
Well, it wasn't like she was forcing it down your throat. You made the choice. I don't think Mama Zioli's to blame.
I think she is.
No, she's not.
I think she was an idiot and it was her loss, honey. She wasn't good enough for my baby. That's what she just texted me right now at 4:20. All right, let me take a quick break. 855-839-1210 if you want to weigh in and on everything we are discussing right now. All these things. This is a big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria. Veneria, actually, let me just tell you about him, because since Mama Zioli, I know, is listening, I want to give her the credit she deserves. She brought Dr. Mike into our life because she started going to Dr. Mike. And now our whole family goes to Dr. Mike Veneria. And he's a great dentist, and he's the master of dental implants and voted a top dentist in New Jersey for 12 consecutive years by his peers. And he's also a man that cares and gives back to our veterans and the community. On Saturday, November 9th, come out to his Cinnaminson office on Riverton Road for his annual Veterans Breakfast and free shredding event. Come out, honor all the men and women who have served us in our country. Get some coffee, cake, donuts, and pizza. Bring your documents that need shredding and meet Dr. Mike and his staff. They always deliver the level of care and expertise that you deserve. And if you're nervous about getting that dental procedure done, don't be. Dr. Mike is the best. Reach out to him for a second opinion consultation if you already had an estimate. You only get one smile in this life, so trust it to Dr. Mike Veneria with two offices to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, and mark your calendar for his Veterans Breakfast Saturday, November 9th. 856-786-2020. 856-786-2020. Or visit VeneriaDental.com. That's V-A-N-A-R-I-A. VeneriaDental.com. And when we come back, Donald Trump has just started speaking in Delco. We'll bring it to you live. Don't go away.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Comes crashing down. All right, so Trump's speaking right now in Delaware County. Delco, as the kids call it. Is that right? Yes, no, maybe so?
Yeah, he's there. We've got the audio if you want.
All right, let's jump in and take a listen to the president, future president.
And I know this is a senior, very much a senior oriented little meeting, but Mike and I were talking. I think this is the biggest senior issue. This is the biggest issue we have. They're destroying our country. They're ruining our country. You're not going to be able to walk outside anymore. And they're depositing them. So they were saying, Kamala. Kamala was saying yesterday, no, I really think walls are fine. Well, for her whole life, walls are, forget it.
Hey, let me just, not to interrupt Donald Trump, but I just want to make this point real quick, because Dan Borowski texted me this regarding the last caller. If you are in line at a county elections office tonight by 5 p.m. to apply for your mail-in ballot, counties must give you an opportunity to do so. So the PA Department of State and Al Schmidt himself had to come out and address this, the commissioner, Al Schmidt. Okay, and this is, so again, this is what he said. I just want to make sure this point, because I know this may affect you directly, and it's almost 5 p.m. If you are in line at a county elections office tonight at 5 p.m. to apply for your mail-in ballot, counties must give you an opportunity to do so. Our team continues to work with all counties to ensure every eligible voter who wants to vote by mail is able to do so, and that is tonight. And this is very important to note. I'm just going to give you the latest updates here, because today's the last day to apply. So this is from Governor Josh Shapiro. I'm not going to read it in his fake Obama voice. I'm just going to read his tweet. Today is your last day to apply for your mail-in ballot in PA. If you are in line at a county elections office by 5 p.m., counties must give you an opportunity to apply for your mail-in ballot. Our PA State Department is working with all counties to ensure every eligible voter who wants to vote by mail ballot can do so. Now, here's what I would suggest to you. If this affects you directly right now, you should show them Governor Josh Shapiro's tweet if they try to turn you away. Okay? All right. Let's go back to President Trump.
Oh, no, it's in good shape. And, you know, and when they endorsed me, the question was asked of the top person who made a beautiful speech, Paul. I would call them all the time. I'd call them, how we doing on the border? Once a week, twice a week. I just like, you know, I was the president and they're destroying our country. And these guys are great. They want to do their job, but they're sort of not let. But I let them do their job. That's why we got the lowest number. But she said that, I said, did she call you often? No. Oh, in 3.5 years, how many times did she call? Thinking, you know, it'd be dozens. She never called. I said, wait a minute, she's the border czar. She's the one that's in charge of the border. She was put there by Biden. And she never called. No, sir, she never called one time. And when they endorsed me, they said he's the greatest president on the border, but he's the greatest president overall that we've ever had. I said, Mike, I said, does that include? They said he's the greatest president we've ever had. And then one of them said, sir, you're the greatest president of my lifetime. I said, I like the first one more that we've ever had. I said, so greatest president that we've ever had. I said, does that include Abe Lincoln? Yes, sir. Does that include George Washington? Yes, sir. I said, that's good. Right? But they also said, I mean, more importantly for purposes of this, they said the best border president. And without question, that I was that. I mean, I was that. So we're going to talk about some other things that, frankly, in many cases are a lot less interesting, because this is a big thing and it's very interesting. We had some people over at Mar-a-Lago today, and we had a press conference, and we had a mother who lost her beautiful 12-year-old daughter to a illegal migrant that came in, should have never been in the country. And we have them by the thousands. Lake and Riley, so many people, you know, Lake and Riley from Georgia. I could name 30 of them right now, and I've gotten to know in many cases the parents, they're just devastated. I don't know if they ever recover. I'm not sure that you ever recover from that, like what they're going through. And I meet these people, and they're just like devastated. And it's all because they have an open border policy. People come into our country from places unknown, and they just walk in. They just walk right through everybody. And nobody wants this. Nobody can want this. How do you win an election with this? You only can win elections if you cheat with this. Who wants that? Who wants all the stuff that they do? All the transgender stuff, all of the woke military. We don't have a woke military. We have a great military. They knocked out ISIS in a matter of weeks. When I was there, they said it was going to take five years. It took about 4 weeks. And they'll never be woke, by the way. These are people I got to know very well. These are not woke people. You have guys like Milley on the top who should have been fired immediately. No, I mean, he should have been fired. He had, whoever was involved with Afghanistan in that horrible period of time, that horrible day, but it was a little more than a day, where we lost 13 great soldiers. They never talk about the ones that lost the arms, the legs, the face was obliterated. They never talk about them. They act like, oh, this is fine. It's not fine. We had many, many people lost their legs, and many people died, and many people on the other side died. I count them, too. I mean, people on the other side, hundreds of people died that day, and it should have never taken place. We gave up Bagram. When you leave, you take the soldiers out last. You don't take the soldiers. They took the soldiers out first. Our soldiers came out first, and it was totally just a horrible situation. And I think Mike Putin saw that, and he said, well, these people, they're a paper tiger. Let's go into Ukraine. I know Putin would never have done it if I was president. Not even a chance. It's not a chance. I used to talk to him about, don't do it, Vladimir, don't do it. It was the apple of his eye. Say, don't do it, Vladimir, don't do it. Oh, this is going to be terrible, Vladimir, if you do that. Not going to be good. You know, don't forget, I ended their pipeline, Nord Stream 2. Nobody ever heard of Nord Stream 2 until I came along. They were building the biggest pipeline in the world to Germany and all over Europe. And I said, no, you're not going to do it. You mean we're defending you from Russia, and you're paying Russia billions of dollars a month for oil and gas? We're not going to do that. I mean, it's so ridiculous under NATO. And we stopped it. And then Biden comes in, he approved it, but he stopped the Keystone pipeline, which we needed. That's our pipeline. He stopped that, but he approved. And then they say, Trump wasn't that tough on Russia. I was so tough on Russia. It was the biggest project they've ever had. I stopped it. And so we have a country that's been run by fools. It's been run by stupid people. Low IQ individuals. They really are. They're low IQ. He was low IQ. Biden was a low IQ guy 35 years ago. He was a low IQ guy when he went to school, when he went to college. He was always a low IQ guy. But he put somebody in who's actually worse than him. And if we put her in office, this country's finished. I really believe it. This country is finished. One of the reasons the stock market's going up, Scott Bessent, who's one of the biggest, most respected people on Wall Street, he's very brilliant guy. Of course, if he said differently, I probably wouldn't be saying this. But he said the only reason the stock market's going up is because everybody on Wall Street thinks that Trump is going to win the election. I think that's true. So we have to keep you safe. In addition, from a medical standpoint, Mike, we have to keep them safe physically from these people that are coming in. And we're going to do I don't like doing this, but we're going to do the largest deportation in the history of our country. But to get all of these criminals out.
This is Trump speaking in Delco right now, in Drexel Hill.
I say that, and you know who has the record? Dwight Eisenhower. And I call him a moderate, but he hated to see people coming in from other countries and violating our borders. He was right, but he was a very big deporter. He deported people when they walked into our country, he'd take them out, and he has the record. And I don't, it's not a record that I want either. We all have a heart, but we have no choice. Now you have also, and you also have others, and we'll also finish that. No, we're going to put up sections of the wall that would have been put up in a matter of weeks. It could have, you know what they did with this wall? Much of it they sold for 5 cents on the dollar for scrap metal. And we're going to have to buy it again, but we're not going to pay 5 cents. We're going to pay a lot. It was a very expensive. This was a wall designed specifically for it. In fact, I often talk about it. I never liked the panel on top. You know what it was called? An anti-climb panel. It looked beautiful when you had just, but when you put the panel on top, it didn't look as good. And I said, why do you do that? They said, it's anti-climb. I said, I don't believe it is. And we actually had mountain climbers and drug climbers. We got a couple of them. It's unbelievable. They can carry a 100-pound sack on their back, but they can go up that thing. You and I could never do that, I think. You and I could. No, they go up it like it's nothing. And actually, the anti-climb panel worked. So I said, good. So it was built specifically out of steel, concrete, and rebar, and hardened steel, very hardened to concrete. So we built so many miles of it, and it worked. And we had the best. And by the way, Mexico did pay. They paid a big price. They weren't able to pay for the wall, but they gave us tens of thousands of soldiers. I said to the president, you're letting these people into our country. You have to give us soldiers to protect us while we're building the wall. I can't do that. I can't do that. I said, if you can't do that, then I'm going to put tariffs on every product that you make, and we're going to charge you 25% back. And he said to me, like I said, I'd love to do that. That's what happened. Millions and millions, maybe billions, but millions and millions of dollars they spent on, they gave us. And I said, free. I don't want to pay for your soldiers. I want it free because they're coming through your country into our country. And we did a lot of things. We did great things. And very important was the rebuilding of our military. But in part of the rebuilding, I said, look, this is an invasion into our country because you couldn't deal with Congress. You had guys like Mitch McConnell and others that were just absolutely terrible. I tell you, he can be Republican. He can be. I'm a person that says it like it is. And guys that were really not on our side very much. And I will tell you, I said, this is an invasion of our country. I'm going to take it out of the military because the military had a tremendous, I was able to get tremendous amounts of money to rebuild our military. We have jets that were 50 years old. We had, Mike would often hear stories where you had the bombers where the grandfather flew the plane, the son flew the plane, and then the grandchild was flying the plane. It was the same plane. It was like so old. And we rebuilt almost our entire military. We're going to be upgrading that. So we did a lot of things, and we did a lot of things medically. One thing I'd like to talk about is right to try. So do you know what that is? I hope nobody in the room needs it. But we have the best labs, doctors, technicians, but our laboratories are the best for new medicines and everything. They're really amazing. And but you can't get it approved. I mean, and rightfully, you can't get it by the FDA. They can't stand me, by the way. I used to push them. I got it down from 12 years to 5 years, but they need certain times. I mean, they do need. I want everything to be rushed. But you can't necessarily do that. But we have a situation where we have things that are really good. We're pretty sure they work. They may not, but we're pretty sure they work. And I said, why isn't it, if a person's terminally ill, why can't they use this stuff that may or may not work? Sir, it's been going on 48 years. They couldn't get it worked out. The country didn't want it because our country would be sued. The insurance companies definitely didn't want it. The labs didn't want it because they didn't want a terminally ill person to be using, you know, something that's going to be like show badly where they have to put it down. They have to do their lists. And they call it a list. They didn't want to be on the list. Somebody's terminally ill and dies and using the medicine. And I understand that. So I got everybody in a room, every one of the doctors, the labs, the insurance companies, and even the country representatives, the Justice Department. They all came in because they couldn't get it done. I said, here's what we do. Somebody can use it. And, you know, these people were going all over the world. They were going to Asia. They were going to Europe. If they had money, and they would get scammed many times, but they'd go all over the world. We couldn't do it here. And most of them, though, had no money, and they'd go home and they'd die. I'd say, look, if somebody's terminally ill, I want to give them a shot at life. It's a great feeling, at least. At least they can say, well, you know, I've got something, and maybe it'll work, and maybe it won't. But what, you know, the expression, what the hell do we have to lose? Somebody's terminally ill. Why? They were saying, we'll be sued. I said, you're not going to be sued. So we worked out, and it didn't take that long. After 48 years, within a period of about a month, and then I got it approved by Congress, believe it or not, we could get things done. But think of this. We got it approved, and everybody agreed. Anybody that signed that document, you wouldn't sue anybody. If something happened to your family, the family would sign. The person would sign. No liability for anybody, and you have the right to try. We have saved thousands and thousands of people, and it's very interesting. Some of the biggest proponents of it now are the people that fought it the hardest to get it, like the laboratories, the medical companies, because it actually showed that it worked. People are terminally ill, and in many cases, they came back. They had absolutely no problems. They have no disease. They have no anything. It's called right to try. We did that. Nobody thought we could get it approved. We got it approved. They signed a waiver of liability, and which in business you sort of do. But I got everybody into a room. I said, we got to do this. And we've used a person who works for me was saved because of that. A very great person that works for me was saved because of right to try. There was no medicine. There was nothing was going to work. But there was a space age something, you know, a medicine that they were going to use and that they did use. And it saved anyway. It saved millions of lives. All these different things that they're developing. And in some cases, it doesn't work. But in many cases, it does. I would say in many more cases, it does. So, Mike, we saved thousands and thousands of lives. And again, I hope nobody in this room needs it. But it's awfully good. It's awfully good. At least it gives you a hell of a shot. And it turned out to be really amazing. So I'd like to ask Mike to now take over and go around the room. I'd love to hear from Ed and Ted and everybody, and we'll see how we're doing, okay? Thank you very much. Thank you. It's a great honor. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Trump speaking in Delaware County right now.
Well, Mr. President, you certainly just gave us a good reason to be happy about next Tuesday. You reminded us why you've been fighting for the people. And every one of these folks who are here at the table are here because they live in this area. They all come from different perspectives, but they have a unique understanding of what's needed in this country and why we need you to be back in the White House. And I'm going to start with Donald Clark. He's a retired police lieutenant. He served 32 years, and he did a variety of roles, from patrol officer, field training officer, canine officer, was on the SWAT team. I think it's interesting, Donald, you were in the police business 32 years. You've been married 36. You might tell us which was the hardest of those two careers, but I want you to speak specifically.
Don't do it. You can get yourself in trouble. He wanted to be cute. I've done that. Say, I love my wife very much.
The police was...
You'll be careful on this.
Good answer.
But speak to the issue of crime. Would you go back into police work today knowing the kind of challenges police officers face that maybe weren't faced then? And then as a retiree, how difficult it is to live on retirement income given the economy that we currently have?
I'd be totally honest, I would not want to go back and work on the street again. I spoke with a lot of my colleagues, and the biggest thing that is really challenging now is it's burnout, the inability of retention and recruitment of the officers that we need due to the lack of respect and hatred towards the law enforcement prevalent in our big cities today. Coupled with that is the lack of support from administration, budget cuts, and the lenient and soft on crime policies of the district attorney's office in those cities. In turn, a trickle-down effect into the surrounding communities comes down from this. And just because Philadelphia has it, now all of a sudden Upper Darby has the same issues. And then with this, it's forcing law enforcement to do more with less. And the one thing I always told my officers when I was on in roll call was, everybody showed up to work tonight. Everybody goes home tonight. And...
All right, unfortunately, I have to take a break, but we'll keep monitoring this event for you, and it's obviously right in our backyard in Drexel Hill, so that's pretty cool. We have 30 minutes of nonstop talk coming up. I do want to take your thoughts and your calls. Remember, by 5 p.m., if you are in line by 5 p.m. to get your mail-in ballot, they have to let you get it. That was Governor Josh Shapiro. I read you the tweet from the governor, so don't let them give you any grief, okay? And we'll go from there. But listen, privacy matters a lot to me. Privacy matters. It's everything. That's why I am using DuckDuckGo, because DuckDuckGo is the real deal. And the best part about DuckDuckGo, and you can trust DuckDuckGo, I've been using it for a very, very long time. I don't want the government spying on me. I don't want companies spying on me. I don't want any of that nonsense. So this is why I subscribed to Privacy Pro from DuckDuckGo. It's a 3-in-1 privacy subscription service that helps protect your personal info from being exploited by hackers, scammers, and privacy invasive companies. Plus, it's from DuckDuckGo, so it's legit. Privacy Pro, DuckDuckGo's VPN secures your Wi-Fi connection anytime, anywhere. Second, it has identity theft restoration. If your identity gets stolen, DuckDuckGo Privacy Pro helps you restore it. And third, personal information removal. This is great. If you ever search your name online, you notice how many sites are selling information about you, just try it. Privacy Pro will help you remove your personal info from those creepy sites so they can't share it or sell it. It's great. Get all that for only $9.99 a month. That's it. That includes the VPN. You got to have the VPN. And as my listener, if you go to duckduckgo.com/1210, you're going to get an exclusive 7-day free trial on us. That's duckduckgo.com/1210.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.